Ben Ray, welcome once again to The Signal.
Thanks once again for having me back.
And you have, as usual, around this holiday time, brought a feast for the eyes, and I just don't know where to start, except perhaps with something sort of holiday-themed.
Okay, so let's start with Krampus, because he seems to be gaining in popularity in the United States over the past few years. So just to explain to listeners, you have St. Nicholas, who of course becomes Santa Claus, but he has a demonic servant historically in the Germanic tradition named Krampus, who is responsible for punishing wicked children. He does this by whipping them. He sometimes will shackle them and drag them off to his cave, and sometimes he'll cast them into the pit of hell, depending on, of course, the gradation of how naughty the children are. And you know, he looks like a demon. He has cloven hooves. He has horns, a long, disgusting tongue. And during the 19th century, he became a popular Germanic icon and started to adorn penny postcards that were then distributed throughout Europe. This collector, Monty Beecham, collected these postcards into an art book called Krampus, the Devil of Christmas. But then, as the popularity of Krampus increased, he's created this sort of micro-industry. So using the artwork from these historic postcards, you can now get yourself a set of Krampus playing cards. You have the collector's tin of Krampus greeting cards. So if you have somebody in your family that might appreciate a darker, more demonic Christmas, that would be awesome. Then, of course, for the kids, there's the Creepy Krampus sticker book where you can, you know, remove these stickers and place them wherever you think a Krampus needs to be seen. So there's all of these images of this devil, in many cases, torturing children, punishing children for being wicked and naughty. And it sends the right message, I think, to the kids for the holidays.
Right. And the aesthetic is sort of like the Victorian postcard look, but it's got this crazy, creepy guy. All right. And now you're always really good about bringing a lot of things with a local flavor to our attention. And this year, it seems like there's a bumper crop of local writers and artists and people who you are representing here today.
Yes, I have it's been a very good year for local projects, local writers, local photographers, local artists. So the first thing I want to talk about is Drone Art Baltimore by Terry and Belinda Kilby. Now, essentially what happened was that Terry picked up a remote control helicopter, and he also picked up like this small sort of camera, and he decided to put the two together to take pictures of their cat, because most people with technology and cameras that and they have cats, that's what they want to do. And then they got the idea, being artists, to start exploring this drone community, right? These hover drones that are now becoming popular. And they then affixed the camera to these drones and started flying them around Baltimore City and even Maryland area landmarks, iconic parks, buildings, etc., and taking these really crazy and unique and fantastic pictures of parts of Baltimore, parts of the city, parts of the state that you may see from a very different perspective on a regular basis, but we've never seen from this view.
Well, here's a book that I have been anxiously anticipating, too, because we talked about it when it was still an idea, really. Kevin Cal Kelleher, one of my favorite artists in the world, has finally released this gigantic and awesome book.
Yes. So Cal is very familiar to readers of the Baltimore Sun. He's also been an illustrator for The Economist magazine, as well as a lot of other places. And so he's collected his work from the past 35 years of The Economist into this gorgeous, beautiful, oversized art coffee table book. So it's loaded with editorial cartoons, some in color, some in black and white. It maybe might take you back to a time in which, you know, reading his cartoons helped keep you sane, like maybe for me during the Bush era, for other people, you know, maybe the Reagan era, what have you. It's just a remarkable history. And I mean, he's a local genius. He really is. And this book, any reader of the Baltimore Sun will recognize his work immediately and be thrilled at seeing a book like this.
Yeah, it's great. Well, and then speaking of beautiful art books from the Baltimore area, here's another one that's kind of hot these days.
Yes, this is The Painted Screens of Baltimore, an Urban Folk Art Revealed by Elaine F. This is a cultural history. This is an overview of a local folk art. It's something that many of us that live in Baltimore are quite proud of, our history and tradition of the painted screens, right? So what Elaine has done is compiled this history and done something that really, I think, has needed to be done for a long time, which is to legitimize this and to help people understand she's traced back the history. It's founded on the idea of privacy, a combination of privacy and an artist's inclination to paint on surfaces, right? And so she has this gorgeous hardcover, full-color book that has fine examples of different screen art, the history of it. Yeah, so if you're sitting on a bunch of your grandparents' painted screens in your basement, strike now. Right. The iron's hot.
She'd like to hear from you.
Yes. Put them up in your window, for God's sakes. Why are they sitting in your basement? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it's true. Well, so what should we talk about next?
Let's go to food.
Okay.
The first one I wanted to talk about is the Burger Mat Show by Burgerac. This is a large sort of, I guess you would call it a fast food tray liner-sized tablet, right? And each page has a set of different art, has a piece of different artwork suitable for framing that's been designed by a different artist or a designer. And then on the back side is a different burger recipe. This is the remnants of an art show from 2011 in London. And it was so successful and people loved it so much that they took all of the art and put it together with the recipes that they served at that art show. It's ideal if you want to have your own burger party. You can just pull these out and have these sort of iconic images lining trays, and then you can make their burgers on the flip side. Burgerac is a burger blogger and in London. So he got the idea to put together some of his top chef friends and some of his designer friends into one big art show. And that's what happened. But it's perfect. Like I said, if you wanted to have a theme party, this makes the perfect setup for that, because you have the artwork that you can put on the trays, you have the burgers themselves that you can make, and you can go from there. Okay, so moving from that, we're going to move into something a little on the more questionably legal side, which is The Guide to Urban Moonshining, How to Make and Drink Whiskey. And it's written by David Haskell and Colin Spolman. The whole moonshine movement is actually coming back, and people are – but it's not done – it is a small act of civil disobedience, but it's not done as necessarily as we think of, where you've got like these large stills generating whiskey in the hills of
Thunder
Kentucky.
Thunder Road, you know, you've got that people riding with their lights off.
Right, you have the Dukes of Hazzard cruising by and – etc. It's not really done. It's not really that way. It's more along the lines of a lot like home brewing.
Sure, I was going to say with the home brew movement. I mean, people are making their own bread and cheese and beer. Why not liquor too?
Right. The difference being, of course, that the home brew is legal as of the late 1970s, whereas home distilleries not so much.
Still, yeah.
And this functions as a cultural history of whiskey in America. It gives you like a good guide and overview of whiskeys, American whiskeys. And then what it also does is it gives you a nice how-to section should you want to set up your own still.
Perhaps someday when it's a legal exercise.
Yes, of course. Wait till it's legal, and then you'll already have everything all set up and ready to go.
Okay. Well, we've done local, we've done Krampus, we've done food. This next book you have is of particular beauty and interest to me, and I still don't quite understand exactly what it is.
Okay, so we're talking about Diableries, Stereoscopic Adventures in Hell by Brian May, Dennis Pellerin, and Paula Fleming. And when I say Brian May, people that are fans of Queen will recognize that name, because it is that Brian May, the guitarist from Queen, who is evidently a leading world expert on this type of artwork, which is essentially, it originated in 1860s France, and there are these intricate dioramas, usually involving skeletons and devils, and what you would have is these sort of, there would be two images next to each other, and then you would have these this viewfinder that you would put on, and you would slide the card in, and it would make everything in three-dimensional, right? It would make everything three-dimensional. So it's this gorgeous hardcover slipcase book with a complete collection of all of the artwork. And then it comes with this thing called the OWL, which is the viewfinder that's adjustable, and you can sit it down over top of the different pages in the book and adjust it until it focuses right, and then you can see all of the artwork as it was meant to be seen in three dimensions.
And it reminds me of those, what were they, the Viewmasters that you had as kids, and they would be like a little slideshow sort of thing?
Yes, that's exactly it. This is the original 3D Viewmaster from 1860s France. And you can still find the actual real viewers and some of the postcards in different antique shops here, even throughout the city. I think I've seen some in Sturgis Antiques from time to time. You can still find them in places. I mean, they're very collectible, but this book is a fantastic, gorgeous collection of them. You can view them in 3D because of the OWL viewer that it comes with, and it has this awesome sort of 3D lenticular cover, too, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be for someone very special. Well, here's something that I love that you bring along, because I am a huge fiction fan myself.
Yeah, what I'm trying to, I think people should read Cool. And people haven't been reading Cool for a while. And there's a number of books that have come out that are going to make it very easy for people to read Cool again. So if you have, let's say, like you have a niece or a nephew who starts quoting Rand Paul, and you're like, oh no, I need to get them to get them something interesting or good that's going to influence them. You have The Cool School, Writing from America's Hip Underground, edited by Glenn O'Brien. And this is, I can't believe that this isn't just flying out of the store in droves right now, because it is such an awesome compendium to cool writing. It's everything from the jazz era through the beats, through the hippies, up through the punks. And it's just it's outlier lit 101 is what the author calls it. It's an introduction to anything cool that you may want to read. Granted, it's not complete. There are other people that could be in this collection that aren't, but it has
Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac, William S. Burroughs,
Mort Saul, Lenny Bruce, Bob Dylan.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's sort of a little sampler. And then you can go on to their larger works.
Right, exactly. It's a great sampler. It's a great starting point. There's a fascinating introduction by the author about hip and what that means and how that definition has changed. And now people talk about this thing called the hipster. And even though Beats talked about hipsters, they're two different things. And now it's a pejorative when before it wasn't a pejorative. And it's largely because when people talk about hipster now, they're not necessarily talking about people that are engaged in cultural change. They're more interested in artisanal cheeses.
Right. And beards.
Yes. Oh, hey.
No offense.
That's it. I'm shaving when I go home.
Well, these look like the kind of books that people have been trading and carrying around with them for all the ages.
Yeah, so this is the Kix Books Hip Pocket series. And what Kix Books is doing is they're putting out these kind of pocket edition books of sort of marginal outsider artists, outsider writers, cool writers, everybody from Nick Tosh's to Charles Plimmel to Sun Ra, collection of Sun Ra poetry. If you want to spend some time in Crazyville, reading some of Sun Ra's poetry is great. Kim Fowley. So these are all like the Benzedrine Highway by Charles Plimmel, for example, is like an early beat book that has largely been overlooked. You've got Nick Tosh's doing a crime book. So these are all sort of great lowbrow, sort of pulpy pocket edition reprints.
I was going to say, like when pulp fiction was referring to sort of the way the book was something to trade around and carry with you places and it's not an art or coffee table book.
No, these are just, they're called pocket books for a reason, because you're supposed to stick them in your hip pocket, although I think pockets are a little bit smaller these days, but they're pretty close. You can fit it in your hip pocket and walk around, and then you're waiting on a train or waiting on a bus or something, you pull it out of your pocket and read it. It's kind of like an ebook app, except better.
Yes. And one more selection before we go.
Okay. This one is because one thing that people need to keep in mind at all points in time is safety first. So if you have a cat, you may need this, or if you know someone that has a cat this might be the perfect gift for them. It's How to Talk to Your Cat About Gun Safety by the American Association of Patriots. And it's a small little pamphlet zine with a lot of pictures of these cute cats posing with guns. And it answers a lot of important questions like, do I really need to talk to my cat about gun safety? Do cats really play with guns? So my cat finds a gun. What's the big deal? Is it safe to own a gun if I have cats in my house? I'm responsible with my gun. Why should I bother to teach my cat about gun safety? So it's very important. This is actually one of the best-selling zines that we have right now.
Well, Ben, thanks once again. We'll make sure to list all of these on our website. And thank you so much for bringing all these books in. I think I've completed my holiday shopping right here today. So
all right. Well, thanks for having me in. Now time to load up the dolly cart.
Yes.
Ben Ray is co-owner of Atomic Books in Hamden. You can find a list of all the books he mentioned and a few extra selections at our website, WIPR.org. Just click the Arts and Features tab.